saying it was an average of one per month. And I started noticing in March of 2021, every time I would come to work, there would be one fetal demise. And so I'm noticing that we're going from one per month to at least three or four per week. And so I kept asking around, you know, I'm like, why are these babies dying? Something's going on. And the nurses around me are all kind of, you know, they're in denial, I guess. Nobody really is investigating what's going on. And then in September, by September, I'm just getting fed up. I'm like, this is ridiculous. All these babies that keep dying, all these mothers that are having all these new health problems that we've never really seen before. I'm getting like tired of it. It's so bad. And so September, I got to work, September 8th, I believe. I came to work and I checked my email and I got this horrific email. I read it and I could not believe what I was reading. And it said, as you all know, there's been an increase in fetal demises. And in the month of August 2021, we had a record number of 22 fetal demises. And that ties the record number with July of, or no. I'm getting the years mixed up, but it basically said for one entire year, we had an average of 20 fetal demises every single month, beginning like July 2021, which is a couple months after those vaccines started rolling out. And so that email was horrific. I could not work for like the first half of my shift because I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop thinking, how is the public not outraged about this? We're talking about babies. These are newborn beings. And I can't believe that nobody's talking about it. So right away, I sent the email to somebody who works for Children's Health Defense. And from there, it pretty much went viral. Somebody from Children's Health Defense reached out to me. And then that's, you know, I went on different shows and I spoke out about this.
This is like, Michelle, this is like, your story is almost like something you would see in a movie, you know, like Outbreak.
Did you know that you're missing a month of your life every year? We're supposed to have 13 months of 28 days exactly, plus one day that represents the renewal. I mean, girls' periods are every 28 days, the ocean tides are every 28 days, the moon's cycle is every 28 days. Why do you think it's called a month? Because the original name was derived from the moon's cycle, which was called a month every 28 days. And I'm sure you've heard of the idea that we live on the back of some cosmic turtle floating in outer space. And that's because turtles actually keep a calendar of this on their back. Most turtles have 13 sections in the middle with 28 days around the rim. The Native Americans figured it out and used the turtle as a calendar. The Bible even says in Job 12, 7 through 10, that all creation knows that God made it. But why has the world distorted God's perfect calendar? And where did the 13th month go? Well, what does Sept mean? September, Sept is 7. October, Oct is 8, November, Novum, Nova is 9, December, Decem, December means 10, but I thought December was the 12th month. Well, let's think about the first month. What does April mean? April is where we get the word aprilis, or aprio in Latin, which means to appear or to open. Yeah, April is the first month, means to open. May is actually named after a demon or a god, a Nephilim. June is named after Junius, a god, as well. July was renamed after Julius Caesar. It was originally Quatilis, which means four. And August was renamed after Augustus Caesar, but it was originally Quintilis, and which means five. And Julius Caesar was originally the one who renamed the start of the whole calendar to confuse you. And the missing month, the thing y'all are missing, Sextilis. I know, it's weird, but it means six. September is now seven, October is now eight, November is nine, December is 10. January is named after a god Janus. February is named after the god Februus, and March is named after another god or demon, Mars, the god of war, who ends things. And what's that famous Shakespeare quote? Beware the Ides of March. Oh yeah, here's Shakespeare manipulating our language again. The Ides of March was originally related to a timeline, meaning celebration. Celebration for the new year. So why'd they change it all? So our yearly calendar was supposed to start in April and end in March. And we were supposed to have 13 months of 28 days, which is 13 times 28 is 364, plus the one day, which represents renewal to make it 365. That day also represents resurrection. Now, what day did Jesus die? It's actually April 3rd that a lot of historians assume, but what do you want to bet the calendar has been shifted a few days? And it was probably closer to April 1st, hence the name April Fool's Day, because you're a fool for believing a calendar that makes absolutely no sense and not recognizing the day that Jesus died for humanity. That's why they call it April Fool's Day. And demons celebrate April Fool's Day because the world has forgotten the day that your Lord died for you. All of this calendar shifting, they did it so that you cannot honor God's feast and holidays. They did it to confuse you. I mean, God specifically says, keep my days. He says, keep the Sabbath. That's part of his commandment. God wants you to honor his holidays. And so that's why the calendar's been shifted. So you can't honor God's holidays, and you don't even know what days they are. And Romans 1:20 basically says, God made creation so that you are without excuse if you deny him. So don't be a fool. Recognize that Jesus died for you. Do the research, read your Bible, and realize that you live in a world that's completely manipulated by Satan. They changed the calendar so that you don't know how to honor your God's holidays.
Careful, your words have power. However, there's a difference between creative power and cultivating power. Only God's words have creative power. We can't cause things to come into existence by what we speak. Only when we echo what God's voice has declared do those words then have creative power. The belief that we have creative power outside of what God declares can lead to fear-based, superstitious legalism. Now, our words do indeed have power, but what kind of power? The word declares life and death are in the power of the tongue. God's words create, our words cultivate. You have the power to speak truth or deception, encouragement or discouragement, wisdom or foolishness, purity or impurity. Words change the way we think and therefore behave and therefore live. Be careful what you say. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yes, healing miracles are for today, but that doesn't mean that going to the doctor or taking medicine means you lack faith. As someone in the healing ministry, I tell you, one of my biggest concerns in this area is this unbiblical idea that taking medicine or going to the doctor is somehow a demonstration of a lack of faith. Paul told Timothy to use wine for his sickness. Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Now, Jesus wouldn't use medical practice as a positive in his analogy if he thought negative of it. We don't reject paychecks just because we know God is the one who provides. So why would we reject medicine just because we know God heals? We mustn't resist anything that works to accomplish God's will. Don't limit God. You can believe for your miracle while also taking practical steps toward health.
Jesus said that you have to make the Most High your dwelling place. That means it's a permanent residence. He said if you dwell in the shadow of the Most High, none of these things are going to happen to you. Angels are going to come. and protect you. There's not going to be any disease. It goes on the whole way through. If you read from verse 10 down to 16 of Psalms 91, it's all these benefits if you make the Most High your dwelling place. But if you don't, then the evil one can touch you. I'm telling you this so that you can make the adjustment in your life, because your books that are written about you are all the good things that God has planned for you. He has never planned for you to fail. You have to discern Jesus as your deliverer. You have to discern Jesus as your healer. You have to discern him as the one who is speaking truth, the resurrection and the life, the one who breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You have to discern him as that. And if you do, it's impossible for you not to receive.
But when it comes to strange artifacts found in mines, there are quite a few. And a couple of weeks ago, on January 25th, a TikToker by the name of YuraAmir28 shared a really strange video of what's supposed to be a sculpture of an angel that was supposedly dug up from a gravel pit 340 kilometers away from the Russian town of Zaya. In the video, the miners talk about how they excavated it from the ground, and they take pictures with it, and they talk a little bit about how they regret doing so because they feel something odd about it.
Вот это да. Короче, разрыли экскаватором такую. Ну я скажу, эмоции просто не рассказать. Душа куда-то аж упрыгивает. Не знаю, конечно, не описать. Это просто не рассказать, почему так. Что это такое? Ну там сейчас на вертолете прилетят все эти дела. И вот пока не приехали все эти товарищи, мы вот тут с ребятами.
Now, according to the uploader, they informed authorities who came and retrieved the statue by chopper and took it away. However, this is where things get strange and creepy. After the video was uploaded to TikTok, it amassed millions of views and thousands of comments, and internet users were completely baffled by it. Some left comments saying that the size and proportion of the head, the eyes, and the mouth are the same as the man around it, and that the face looks real, not carved, and that this might actually not be just a statue, but most likely some sort of petrified angel. Others compare this to a Simpsons episode where Lisa actually finds the skeleton of an angel during an excavation. There were even some internet users suggesting that the statue actually moves by itself at a certain moment. Check this out. Now, even though many internet users see the statue's face moving by itself, many others do not, like myself. What I do know, however, is that I have to agree with many internet users who state that there's a really creepy vibe to it, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, if it's the face or if it's the statue itself. Something about it just doesn't feel right. Now, to make things even stranger and a bit confusing, Irina Kachinga, the secretary at the Elga coal mine complex, released an official note stating that the statue was actually lying around there for quite a long time, and that the people working at that mine did not excavate it and just made up a story on it. But I'm gonna leave it up to you guys. Do you think this is indeed the statue of an angel that was excavated and maybe the Simpsons predicted it? Is it just a fake or made-up video, or is it maybe something else entirely?
Hey everyone, hey brothers and sisters. We're all still living in a biblical world, you can tell. By the signs, symbols, and agendas, this world is fallen, and that means Jesus is true, so there's the good news of him, but it's bad news for the world. Javier Rey is an actor. He's doing the Eye of Horus here, very obviously, one-eye symbolism. He's doing it again here. He hides his hand in his coat, the way a Freemason would do. Sarami is a singer. They are doing the Uttara Bodhi Mudra, a gesture of Satan's fake enlightenment. This has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and salvation. It's the opposite of that. Gabriel Zamora is a YouTuber. He is a man that puts on women's makeup. This is becoming very popular nowadays, and it's troublesome. And he, too, is doing the Uttara Bodhi Mudra with his hands there, a gesture that is Antichrist. Please do your research. Please use discretion and discernment in all things. God bless you, everyone.
In the worship, I believe the Lord's speaking to me about someone with a deteriorated lower spine. Deteriorated lower spine. You're just walking in, are you? Come on. Well, that's the power of God on you. That's the power of Jesus Christ on you.
Heal me. He can give me new spine.
That's the power of God going through your spine. That's the power of Jesus Christ going through your spine. Come on, sis. I think you've been on the floor long enough.
I tried to get up a couple of times, but I can't.
Our lovely ushers will get you up. Thank you. What's that?
They tried and they said, you're wobbly and dizzy. And I said, yeah. And they said, you better lie down. So I just flopped.
Let's see if she can get up now. We've got a couple of catches. Come on, just help her up. Pastor's directing the ushers both sides. Are you drunk?
Holy Spirit. Oh, gee.
I think you had wisdom. Just let her down. We'll talk to her later. What are you laughing about?
I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just happening. I can't stop it.
Debbie.
Debbie, what was the problem? Tell us in one sentence.
I had lupus and I was ready for a hip replacement in 2 weeks.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
So, and I've been healed from both.
Someone you need... you've got a bad right hip. Maybe you're thinking about a pelvis, a hip replacement. That's, I'm always looking at you. Hey, come on, let's talk here. What's that?
I'm actually booked in on the 8th of February, but I want God to heal me before so I can cancel it.
So, the bone, the hip bone and the femur, okay? It's not only the hip socket, the ball, but it's in the femur. Is that right or not?
Yeah, I get pain from my back right down to my toes and a ripping in my muscles. I get electrocuted like with zapping from cysts in the hip joint. And yeah.
That's the power of Jesus Christ. Just hold the shoulders. That's the power of shoulders. Elbows. That's it.
What does that feel like?
Oh, like I'm drunk.
Let it down.
So that's your hip surgery happening? That's your hip surgery happening? God has many ways of doing hip surgery. Sometimes the Lord uses, it's like laughing gas in the surgery. Just take it the way he gives it. Amen. Now she's got the anesthetic.
I think we should stand up and give him a big clap. Amen. Where's that chauffeur? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Have your seats, everyone. So the hip, what was wrong with the hip?
A lot. I had tears in the lining of my hip. I had cysts inside my hip. I had bone on bone. I had tears in the muscle down the front of my leg, down the back of my leg. I had tendonitis, bursitis. There was a lot going on.
And Jesus has healed you.
And Jesus has healed me.
So what happened? What did you feel happened? What was said? What happened?
I think she did a backflip over the chairs.
This is not an amusement park, you know that.
I aim to please.
So what did you feel happen?
I just felt a real lightness but heat in the area. And today, I just had to keep checking, like my leg was even there because it just felt like it was so light.
So you knew your leg was there before because of the pain?
Oh, definitely. It was like one of those old drills that you used to manually, boring into my bone constantly. Yeah. Yeah.
So show us what you can do with your leg now, your hip. Praise God.
Thank you.